Hey everyone, welcome back. Have you unknowingly begun to worship the lyrics you sing instead of God? Or are you making idols out of specific ideas and beliefs that you have? Today I'm going into a few thoughts I have on these questions, so don't go anywhere.
We will be the ones to see it through, and everything lost will be renewed. Long ago in the garden it was to be, now a dream fulfilled in you and me.
So, what do I mean by worshiping lyrics? This is something that I've observed for a long time, and so I've been trying to address it in my mind, and it kind of turned into an idea that I thought I would put this out there for you. I believe that a lot of times our ability to enter into the presence of the Lord is cut short. It's limited because we don't see God for who He is. And so we, in that, you know, I know we have limited capacity, and I don't want to misrepresent this, that we can only worship God once we know the fullness of Him. No, you can't know the fullness of Him. This is an eternal exploration of getting to know Him. But we do take things and we idolize them. We make this the preeminent thing about God, and it might even be right, but we can still take it and implement it and focus on it at the wrong time when God is trying to reveal other things. But we also take things that are not necessarily His nature, His character, and we have projected our beliefs, our ideas upon Him. And so the idea of worshiping lyrics instead of worshiping God came to me because I see people oftentimes struggling and having very little enthusiasm or even desire to honor God until their favorite song happens. As soon as they hear their favorite song, it's like, well, sometimes maybe they're just enjoy their favorite song, and that's not a appropriate behavior, is to only worship Him when your music plays. That's not the way God wants us to operate. And it's not about just music, because you will do the same thing. You will not be drawn to the things of God unless they are talking about what is on your mind, what you like. And that's a very dangerous place to be. So the idea of worshiping lyrics, maybe that's too strong of language in some cases, but I do think that that happens a lot of times. I think a lot of times people are worshiping a certain thing. And so they will be very unenthusiastic and not stirred in their heart towards honoring God until all of a sudden a lyric, one line from a song, maybe they don't even know the song, but it says what they like. It talks about something that they like. And so they immediately are stirred, and they're like, they'll sing that as loud as they can, or they'll begin to raise their hands and honor Him just because of a specific lyric. That's not bad if the lyric has stirred your heart, but it can be bad when this is something that limits you. When you only see God and honor Him in that capacity, you often can begin to operate in this place of turning God, the God that you see, that you imagine, turning Him into something less than what He is. Especially when we're talking about flaws, when we're talking about shortcomings or limited understanding. When we ascribe things to God from that place, we are making God into something else other than who He is. He wants us to see Him as He is. I've grown to honestly to detest it during times of worship, when God is making His presence known and stirring us in simple things. And when I talk about simple things, I don't mean that God never wants us to talk about or understand deep things or complex things, but think about it. When you are expressing your affection to a family member, your child, to your mother or to your spouse, you don't generally, not that you never do, because some of us are more expressive in different ways, and you might write a poem to them or do something like that, but in general, you're saying simple things like thank you, I love you. And we're receiving simple things like, I love you. I love you to the moon and back. Just simple expressions that let us know the true nature and care that we that our loved ones have for us, or that we have for them. So, like I said, I've come to detest it when during worship times, there's simple expressions, and these are quotes from some different songs, like, "I know that you love me," or, "I love you, Lord, and I raise my hands to worship you. I will give you all my days," or, "I give you all my days to honor you." And but those things don't stir our hearts. And I'm not saying, I'm not saying that never do, but I'm just saying, I see this that in times of worship where people are like, "Ho hum. Well, I know that Jesus loves me, and I know that, you know, I care about him too." And I'm being a little sarcastic, and I don't want to be sarcastic in the worst way, but I do want us to get recognize that these types of things, we have to stir ourselves past anything that would make the holy things and the genuine expression of affection and desire from God to us, and our response and honor to him would make it less meaningful. We have to dispel those things. But I see again and again that people are not stirred. And I've been in times of worship where just one little line, like, "I know that you love me," will just melt hearts. People who are desiring him, and it just melts us in his spirit. We know, we recognize the reality of his love, and it just completely, nothing else matters at that moment. We are going to focus on him because he is everything. He is real. He is true. His beauty surpasses everything. There's nothing else that we desire other than him. "I know that you love me." But that doesn't stir people's hearts, and they'll sit there cold and dead. And I'm saying, you know, I know that I'm just observing, but I'm not judging hearts entirely. I'm just saying over time you do get to see more and more of this, and you see the struggle. And I'm addressing the struggle. Don't take this personally. If this is something that you've experienced, don't take it personally, because I'm not calling you out in that regard. I'm just calling us all up to the deeper, to the more real aspects of encountering God. But it doesn't stir our hearts. Those simple expressions don't stir our hearts. But when a song comes on, or somebody begins to sing a song, or begins to make a statement that is theological, that's something that we agree with, we philosophically have, you know, share this way of thinking, all of a sudden our hands go up. We shout amen. We respond with gusto about those things when the simple things didn't stir our hearts. And we begin to sing out loud all of a sudden a song that expresses more of our theological beliefs. And I'm not against theology. I'm not against agreeing with what you're singing. That's not what I'm saying. But I, like I said, these things, we do not need to have sophisticated worship. Sophisticated worship can have its place, and it can be a beautiful expression and a monument to God. So don't get me wrong. I'm never throwing everything out. I'm addressing things that I feel are important, that God wants us to see in ourselves, this idolatry that can form of being stuck on a certain thing. Especially, like I've said, I don't know everything. You don't know everything. And so if you focus only on what you do know about God, instead of exploring him, like I said, when you recognize the reality of who he is, and you begin to adore him, he begins to reveal. You begin to have interactions with him that allow you to know him. I said this to my wife recently. We were listening to something I think it was a video somebody had posted on YouTube, and I was like, nope. And she's like, "What are you talking about?" Because it was early in the video. I said, nope. I said, I don't even have to watch the rest of the video, because I know that what they are saying isn't the God that I have met. And that may sound prideful, and I don't mean in the prideful way. I did listen to the rest of the video, and I was correct in my assessment that they were portraying God in a very bad light, ultimately. And I recognized that early on because I knew that the God that they were describing wasn't the God of the scriptures. It wasn't the God that I have met. The God who reveals himself to us and shows us who he is. It was an idea that they had formulated, and their life had begun to reflect this, and they had begun to build upon this to the point where God no longer, and I'm not even questioning their salvation. Don't get me wrong. The church has idolized all these things to the point where you have to have perfect understanding to be saved. No, I'm not going there. I'm talking about the limitation that it brings in their life. But also, I recognize that they're not portraying the God that I know. I want to do my best, and I want to shave those things off, break off the things on me that don't represent God. I want to have expressions of more and more true and reality of who he is. But when I see him, I want to recognize him instead of reject him. Because that's what ultimately does begin to happen. When we become more and more focused on what we understand and cultivating that instead of knowing him in those moments, the truth, reality of simple things that he can then keep us steady and keep us growing, keep us in love with him, we become more and more enamored with our idea, our vision, our personal thoughts about who God is. Because God is much more than my thoughts. There are areas that are true about my thoughts, but he's much more than that. There are areas that are wrong, and he is not anything like those. It's the same in every single one of us, and we have to grow in these things. Don't be enamored with a lyric or a theology, a belief, that a teaching that only stirs our heart when somebody talks about that, because God is much more than that. He wants you to be stirred by him like a moth to a flame, drawn straight to him. Instinctively, not theologically, not because you have this great understanding of everything, but drawn to him instinctively. It is built into who you are because you are a child of God. You are sanctified. You are made holy, made righteous by his blood. You are drawn to him immediately. As soon as he manifests, you want more of him. This little question, as I was thinking about this, I wanted to throw it in here. Do you read your Bible during times of worship? And that may sound silly, but this is something I've observed for a very long time. And again, it bothered me over and over again. So I began to seek the Lord. I began to ask him, why does this bother me? I mean, somebody reading their Bible, how is that bad? It's not bad. It's just out of place. Now, there have been many times when God stirs me in the middle of worship to read a scripture, to look up a scripture, because he wants to share it. He wants to manifest that in the worship, as part of the worship, as part of our gathering, as part of his ministry to his body. So I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about being disconnected, not being moved to by the presence of God in adoration of him, to honor him, to glorify him, to express zeal and passion for him and intimacy with him. So we go to reading the Bible. And I've seen this happen a lot of different times. I've seen it happen, and like I said, again, if this is you, if you've done this, don't take this personally. I'm not calling anyone out personally. I'm not even thinking of individuals on that level. It's observations that I've had, because that is not what that time is for. If you haven't been studying and reading your word, the Bible and the scriptures, then you're not going to make up for it. It's not going to accomplish a whole lot to do it right then. So to get into it and start reading and spending the 30 minutes, an hour, or whatever it is in times of worship, reading scriptures, that it's not going to accomplish what it could have and what it should have when you can apply the proper time to do that. Now, that kind of touches on another aspect of it, of things, something that I actually enjoy is like prayer rooms, the opportunity to go in, worship the Lord, and pray and read and study. And can be a good thing. Like I said, I enjoy that. But we have to recognize when it's time to engage with worship in our spirits, in our in the truth and the reality of that moment. And most of the time when we come together, it is not a time for the what is happening to be background. A prayer room, it is set up a little bit differently for the music and the singing to be a little bit more background, not always totally background, but a little bit more background because other things are in the forefront of what is going on. And they're back here a little bit farther. And then sometimes they'll come forward and God will move in that. And then it go into expression of prayers and studying the scriptures in the individuals in those moments. So understand that there is diversity and there's different times and places. But one thing that I have seen is that people who spend a lot of time around and in prayer rooms often become disconnected with times of worship, to where they want to sit down and begin to journal during worship, or they want to sit down and read their Bibles during worship, and they're disconnected. They're ultimately not participating. They're not joining with, they're not adding to what God would have in that moment. They are, in some ways, they're detracting because they can be even a distraction to what is going on. But at the very least, they're not manifesting the things of God and the adoration that would benefit everyone involved, that would bring us all into the presence of the Lord and accomplish something that I think, just since I'm saying that, we need to recognize that it's not about us. Again, if this is something that you've focused on, don't take it personally. Expand, grow into more understanding, because there are times when worship, God really begins to minister to you, and you've probably experienced intimate times, and it was you were alone in the middle of a bunch of people. You're all alone. God has just shined the light right into your heart, and he's dealing with you. He's revealing himself to you and comforting you and inspiring you. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting any of that stuff in a bad light. But what I'm saying is, when we come together, it is not a free-for-all, every man for themselves. It is in unique individual expressions combined together to accomplish, and united, we have the ability to see God manifest in each other, which inspires the next person, which brings forth the expression of God in a new way that can't happen when you are by yourself. And so it's not about you. It's not about you getting in that. And I say this carefully because I know that a lot of times worship leaders and other ministers will actually encourage that. We're like get off into your own your personal little place, you know, connect with God in worship. And like I said, I'm not a judgmental person. I'm not saying that has no place. But in general, the reason we are together is to be together, correct? If we come together, it is because there's something that being together accomplishes. Otherwise, I can stay in my room and I can turn on worship music, or I can play my guitar and sing. I can read my scriptures and be intimate with God, which I can be. But there are things that I can only have access to when I'm with you, when I'm with my brothers, my sisters in Christ. That is what that time is for. So I don't read my Bible when I'm in church like that. I will read it because God quickens something, because he wants to manifest that in that moment. But I don't pick up my scripture and start reading what I should have been reading days before. Take that to heart. Recognize that if what's happening isn't anointed, maybe God wants you to actually acknowledge that in your heart and bring something new. Maybe just simply your participation will stir that up and break through in the Spirit. But also maybe if you're in, I don't know how your church is or your group is, but maybe he would have you say something that would then break that barrier for the entire congregation, instead of going to your word and studying or reading or something like that. He would break that barrier and bring his anointing and presence more full. We have to recognize that we're making idols of our beliefs. This is something that I've said many different times. We have to recognize that what we believe is not who God is. It might be a part of it. It might be really close to it, but it is not who God is. And so if we believe the things that we've learned, which we all should, none of us should be doing things that we don't believe in, right? But we can't idolize them. We have to recognize their limitation. What you currently understand will change. You will learn more, you will grow more, and you will receive more from God at a later time. And so if you idolize your current beliefs, you will be resistant to change, to growth, to revelation. So we have to recognize when we have done that, when we've taken what we believe about God and we have made it an idol. So we are worshiping God in the image of what we believe Him to be. And anything outside of that, we can't receive. But also, we have to recognize that, you know what? Other people who don't agree with me are worshiping God too. And just because their understanding, which might be wrong, or it might simply be different, an area that I haven't explored yet, or it might be something that I'm wrong in and they're right in. I need to be able to recognize God in them and not idolize my beliefs to the point where I reject or cut off or am not moved by the hand of God in their life. And I've talked about that a number of different times, a number of different ways. It is so important that the church get off their proud little stump that wants to arrogantly think that they've got everything figured out and cut other people off. We've got to stop doing that. We've got to see the hand of God in other people because God is moving in and through and on other people, and they do not have the same revelation that you have. And you might be right, but God is still going to use them even though they're wrong. Wow. That's a new revelation, isn't it, right there? God's going to use them even though they're wrong. He's not going to use you because you're proud, because you're stuck in your ways. You've made an idol of your belief instead of seeing God for who He is. Like I said, even if you're right, but especially when we're wrong, and we all have areas that are incomplete and directly wrong. We all do, every one of us. So in humility, we must recognize that. And that allows us to grow and see God move. And recognize that when He's using somebody who is flawed or deceived, He chooses to use them because He has their heart. He's connected to them and He has their heart. That's so important that we grab a hold of that. God's people are guilty of deifying doctrines. I'm saying these things in a little bit different ways, but God's people are guilty of deifying doctrines. We make the God we serve in the image of our beliefs. And we do this is essentially what denominational order becomes. And I'm not trying to attack any denomination or any church or any group or anybody that is honoring God. I'm actually trying to elevate that and respect what God is doing in any group of people. But we are, as the people of God, as His body on earth, we deify our doctrines. And we put God into this box of descriptions of what we believe, and we make the God we serve in the image of those beliefs. So anyone who's outside of that, maybe they're not even a believer, but they begin to encounter God, and then all of a sudden, they have to stop growing in that regard. When they come with us, we're like, nope, in order to follow Him, you have to be like this. Shame on us. Shame on us. Shame on His people for being so short-sighted that we talk about this infinite and all-powerful God who loves and moves, and we make Him so confined in our beliefs, and we don't operate in the love and connection that He has for other people. This way of operating removes the life. It drains the life, the eternal life that God wants us to have. That is what? I've quoted this many different times. If you listen to my podcast, you know this. Knowing God is eternal life. Knowing Him. It is a life that we get to live, a way of living that is called eternal life. That's just what Jesus said. We must know Him as He is. He wants us to see Him in His true reality, not the limited capacity. As He is, not in the limited and flawed. Maybe dead ways that we can currently believe. Not in those limited capacities. Only, especially because there are things that are right. I'm not trying to throw out everything. He wants us to know Him. so that we can operate and have life. Otherwise, it drains it out of us. We have less and less life in God because we are proud. We are stuck in our ways. And God resists the proud. He comes close to the lowly and the humble. When we do this, we can worship God the way we have to. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. Because the truth of who He is and the spirit and the reality of who He is, no matter of our limitation, our lack of understanding and our failures and our flaws, instead of doing what we do so many times of in deifying doctrines and worshiping lyrics, instead of seeking God or seeing Him, because we can seek Him in a lot of different ways, and follow a certain train of thought, and we think we're seeking God, but we need to see Him for who He is. We need to see Him and worship Him directly, not through my ideas, not through my belief system. Like I said, I'm not saying don't use our minds. I'm not saying don't have thoughts develop and doctrines. I am very doctrinally established. I have many beliefs that I have studied that I believe portray the character and the nature of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and Yahweh, the Creator, the Father. I have so many ideas and doctrines that I will stand on, and I love because I love to express them. I love to share them because they are what stir my heart. But I never want to let those take the place of worshiping Him directly. And I've encountered this because I've had songs that I've heard sung, and I'm like, you know what? I don't believe that. I don't agree with what the author wrote here theologically, even though it's a very common doctrine and so that certain groups believe in. I may not agree with it entirely. And so I had to deal with this. I was like, should I not sing that song? Should I not worship God with those people? And what God challenged me again and again, He's like, who cares? Do you have to understand everything about me or know everything that I am in order to worship me? Or can you not worship me if there's something that you think about me that is not true? And the answer is obvious. No, I will never know all that. I will always have different little things that I don't quite understand and things that I am wrong in over that I'm unaware of. Does that keep me from worshiping Him? No, it does not. So therefore, God stirred my heart. He said, then you can worship. You can sing that hymn that was written 200 years ago by a group of people and written with the thoughts and the belief system of a group of people that you don't agree with because those people were worshiping Him. They were loving Him. In their limited capacity of understanding, they wrote a song to glorify God. And I will stand with them and honor God as well. Because He's much bigger than the lyric. He's much bigger than the song that I'm singing. That doesn't mean I join with the, you know, sometimes I might even change the words as I'm singing. Because I do that anyway with lots of songs. I just change words as I'm worshiping Him to express more of what is in my heart. So I might just sing it a little bit differently. But I'm still joining with the spirit of what is being sung, which is to honor God. That is so freeing. Instead of being in this bondage and fear of you know what, I'm going to be singing something, I'm going to be saying something that is not of God, that's not ordained by God, it freed me to be, you know what, mistakes, shortcomings, incorrect beliefs don't limit us as nearly the same level, because they do. They can get in our way, especially, like I said, when we've deified them and we're not willing to explore and knock down things that are between us and God and that are incorrect and correct them with His truth. Those things don't limit me as much as my pride, my self-righteous look at something and say, well, I've received more truth than that person has, and so I'm not going to honor God with at this moment. I'm not going to honor God. Yeah, you know, like crossing our arms and being arrogant like that makes us closer to God because I have some truth that they don't have, so therefore I'm not going to honor God and worship Him and love on Him. Man, the little babes, they're going to honor God much faster, much more truly in spirit and in truth, much more than any time that some kind of pride or arrogance comes on people and we're like, well, that's not good enough for me. As long as we stay limited to our honoring God and worshiping the ideas that we have of him, as long as we stay limited by that, we only see him through that. We don't get to see who he is. Our flaws and mistakes, everything that we understand that is flawed, that is mistaken beliefs, will begin to manifest in our lives more and more when we stay limited by this, because this capacity of recognition, this walking in humility opens this, allows us the capacity to grow, but we stay limited with these ideas of stuck with only worshiping the lyrics that we believe in. And I use that term for a purpose, because we are worshiping the lyrics, not God Almighty. Our flaws and mistaken beliefs begin to manifest in our lives and in the picture of who God is that we present. We begin to present God as this creature that won't receive love from the people that he just loved. He gave his only son so that they would be able to be in relationship and know him. But then he's going to not receive their worship. Nope, they don't know what they're singing. They don't know how to express it. Their knowledge is incomplete, so I'm not going to receive it. No, that's the picture we're painting, because that's what we're doing. That's what we are doing. We are not participating in the life, in the power, and the blood of Christ that covers so many people, and his love that covers a multitude of sins or missing the mark, areas that we don't yet have in submission to him or in understanding of him. This is beautiful. This is the heart of God that he wants to unlock in his people, this heart of love that's not painting a picture of God being this proud, arrogant, close. You almost got your doctrine right, but and I know you were loving me and you wanted to express that, but nope, ain't going to take that. That's not who God is, and that's not what we should be painting. It's not wrong to adore God in a limited capacity. When we don't understand things and we have limited things, it is not wrong for us to honor him still. It is never wrong to do that. Now, there might be some expressions that need to be corrected. There might be some things that get done that God was like wants to teach us, but it's just like a little child. It's not evil for a little child to try to. And on some levels, you know, come and dance before they're in front of their dad or something. He came home from work and then he got a little daughter there that's you know, 2 years old and wants to say, "Daddy, Daddy, look." And she starts dancing and she's not dancing in any special way. She doesn't have any capacity. His joy is stirred up. His beautiful daughter wants to show her love for him and a joy of what she can do in honoring and loving him. I mean, I could go into that. That's the nature of our God. It's not wrong to adore God on a limited capacity. We're all doing that. It is wrong, though, to lose our sense of wonder and exploration to the point of rejecting what God is doing. To the point of rejecting God when he shows up in other ways than what we've already seen him show up. When God begins to move and manifest, we in our spiritual pride and arrogance of self-righteous religious beliefs, we will often reject the very word of God, the very move of God. This has happened all throughout the history of Christianity and before Christianity in Israel. You see that at the time of Jesus very strongly. But the people of God will reject something because it's not what they were thinking about. It's not what they have received revelation on. And instead of hearing and seeing the purpose of God in it, they will cut it off. They will kill it. Literally, sometimes the people, the messengers who bring that will be killed even. But they will kill the message as best as possible, because they're no longer have that sense of wonder and that wide-eyed, just what do you have next, God? What else is there? Now, I will say, add to that, I'm not talking about this need for a fresh revelation. The simple truth of God should stir your heart is what I'm talking about. The need for a fresh revelation can turn people into rejecting truth, rejecting the scriptures even, for some new idea or flawed belief. That's not what I'm talking about, because that is a wrong spirit as well. But at the same time, remaining hungry for the revelation of God, because the simple things, the simple truths of God stir you to Him. This is a very simple message, and I think I've gotten the point across. I don't want to say more than I need to. Just take this to heart and let God open you up to receive more and more of Him. That's what this is after. Like I said, don't take any of this as a personal attack, but I know we're all guilty of this in different ways. God had challenged me over and over again over the years with many of these different points. I love you guys. Run hard. Run hard after God in every way.
Lost will be renewed. Long ago in the garden it was to be. Now a dream fulfilled in you and me.